This is Classic Business on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Welcome back to Classic Business, brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. Mango Airlines confirmed last week that Nico Bezuidenhout will return as CEO of the low-cost airline with effect from 1st of October. Nico, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thank you.
In a statement, Mango said the appointment of a permanent CEO is a step in stabilizing leadership and strengthening the executive capacity of the board. Nico was the founding CEO of Mango Airlines and has a track record of successfully managing the business during his tenure from 2006 to 2016. He's got 18 years of senior level experience, 13 of which is a CEO. So the question has to be asked, why did you come back?
Chris, I think that Mango has been part of my DNA. It was the baby I founded. So I'm excited to be back and try and see to make a difference in the company and take it to its next phase of growth and development.
Okay. Before we go back to that, can I just maybe talk for a little while about FastJet? I remember when that was launched, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer, I'm not sure.
A bit longer.
It was that chappy Stelios that started off EasyJet, and there was an awful lot of hype and a lot of expectation that that FastJet was going to bring down prices, and it really was going to open up the whole of the African continent. In reality, it only happened to a kind of limited extent, and then it got into some big financial problems, and I think they brought you in to try and help sort that out.
Yes, indeed. FastJet was started in 2012 in Tanzania, and the principle there was to just basically take EasyJet and copy-paste and dump it in East Africa, and voila, you're supposed to have stimulation, supposed to have a successful business. I think some of the mistakes that the business made in the case of FastJet was exactly that, to think that you can just uniformly transpose or transplant one solution from one market into another and it will work the same. So some of the local nuances in Tanzania was missed. The low levels of internet penetration, low levels of credit card adoption was missed in that market. The aircraft types were too big. So when you operate a low-cost business, low-cost carrier business with seat occupancy rates of below 50%, you're just simply not going to cut it. So in the time that I spent at FastJet, we spent a lot of time changing the fleet to smaller aircraft types, relocating the head office from London to South Africa, reducing the reliance on high-cost expat resources. And all of that has had, and also diversifying its revenue streams by going into markets like Zimbabwe, Mozambique, South Africa. So that allowed us then over time to reassess the position in Tanzania. Late last year, the Tanzanian government decided to become very aggressive in terms of its own operator, Air Tanzania, operating in the domestic market. That deepened losses. By the time that we pulled the plug on Tanzania, the market had absorbed approximately $180 million of capital. And it's a pity, because the Tanzanian market theoretically should work well. It's a mid-hemisphere country, it's a big market. But the conditions were just not conducive for sustainable business, and we therefore pulled out of that market as effective November last year.
Okay. So now you're back running Mango again. And again, it's a low-cost carrier. Should I refer to it as a budget airline or a low-cost carrier? Because there is a fine distinction between the two.
Yeah, look, I think the distinction between carrier types over time is starting to dissipate in a sense. In aviation, everything eventually tastes like chicken. You've got full-service carriers that's starting to look like low-cost carriers that look like full-service carriers, budget carriers, value carriers. At the end of the day, it's all about efficient delivery operations, reducing cost, and satisfying your customers. So I'm looking forward to rejoining Mango with effect 1st of October.
I mean, in that space, I mean, it's a very competitive space. You've got Mango, you've got Fly Sapphire, you've got Kulula. Are there any other players in there?
Not specifically in the South African market. Now, specifically, the South African market is the most highly traded of any aviation market on the African continent. It's also by far the largest. Generally, in Africa, you've got approximately 200 airlines operating across the 54 countries. But this African market in specific is very highly traded. You've got some good, incredible operators. So, yes, it is a tough competitive market, yeah.
And presumably, look, we don't know what the turnaround strategy of SAA is going to be in any great detail, with Vayani Johanna having left. But I get the impression that in any kind of meaningful turnaround strategy, you're going to have SAA as being the kind of regional and overseas, the foreign operator, with Mango as being the only part of SAA that operates within a local thing. Or am I getting a bit ahead of myself? Is that a bit of a step too far, do you think?
Well, I think that, so firstly, any comments that I make as far as the SAA Group strategy at the moment is concerned is pretty much like you, from the outside inwards. I'm not privy to the exact strategy that SAA will be following. I can, however, talk about the fact that Mango was originally created to focus predominantly on the domestic short-haul market. From an SAA brand standpoint, there'll always be some demand for business class type of travel. So I do believe that SAA as a brand does have a place in the domestic market. It's the scale that's at question.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed, you know, when traveling on budget carriers in Europe and the US and the UK, some of them are really not very nice, and I'm not going to mention any names. Whereas in South Africa, it's actually a more pleasant experience, and I've done Mango on a few occasions, and it's not the really bottom end of the market unpleasant experience that's usually associated with some of those other carriers. And I'm dying to say the name, it begins with R. Why is that? I mean, why have South African operators maintained a somewhat higher standard, or is that just my perception?
I think you're generally right. So there's two components of it. So firstly, I've never believed that low cost needs to equal low class, first and foremost. And I think that the majority of the low cost carriers in the South African market approach it from that perspective. So yes, I think there's a better level of service delivered in the domestic market, and the carrier that you're referring to, but not referring to, the particular Irish carrier, even that carrier has started to jack up its level of service, because what happens over time is that good quality, high service carriers are becoming more efficient, and therefore low cost carriers need to up the stakes in terms of the quality of service that they deliver.
Cool. Nicolas Zadenhout, many, many thanks for your time, and we wish you all the best in your new role, or your renewed role, should I say, from the 1st of October. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Grab this week's golden